Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Started at 3, 713-780-ESPN. Uncle Barney says, if I'm a good OC, I'm passing on the Texans. The best OC in football couldn't fix it. The offensive line's just plain bad. Can't be fixed with one or two draft picks. Fair.
I mean,
that's why you're so wise.
Now, if you're the best OC available, you're also probably lining yourself up to be the interim head coach.
Well, you'd have to be a retread head coach.
Yeah.
McDaniel, Stefanski, Taylor, where it's like, hey.
Doug Peterson? What do you think?
He didn't really work in Jackson.
I know. Yeah. But is that him or is that Trevor? Because Liam Cohen's good. We all think that. And don't look good for him either.
Duval.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to Doug Peterson.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Apollo, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Apollo?
All right, sports fellas, double rods. Two questions for you. One, what with CJ's contract looming, coming up around the corner, what is your confidence level in his want to even come back and sign here? And second question is, I know the talk has been around McDaniel and everything, but what reason would he want to come here with the shape of the offensive line and the history of it being so poor? He's not even going to be able to implement the kind of offense that he wants to run. So I will shut up and listen.
Yeah, I think I'm not really concerned if CJ wants to be here or not at this point, Jeremy, for me. Like, if he doesn't want to be here, well, like, too bad. That's you give him a contract. And then if Dale Mulugeta wants to pull a fast one and try to get CJ Stroud to be Matt Stafford's replacement with the Los Angeles Rams, well, then you cross that bridge when you get there. So that one I'm not too concerned about. I also wouldn't be concerned with, like, Mike McDaniel specifically about not wanting to come here, because – if you pay him enough and there's no salary cap with coaches, he'll come.
Yes. And also, I don't think he's going to be in – I wonder his demand as an OC. Like, the way that it's going in Miami, I think, like, it diminishes his star. You know what I mean? Like, it
yeah.
He's not going to be, like, a hot commodity, I don't think.
But I think he's going to be it depends on how many – defensive head coaches are hired.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, to me, is where he becomes a hot commodity.
Yeah.
Is in this situation or this exact same situation somewhere else. Like, does Brian Flores or Robert Saleh get a head coaching job this offseason? If the answer was yes to either of those, Mike McDaniel would probably make sense for at least one of them. Probably not Brian Flores. But, like, that's where, like, is he going to be, like, is he going to do the Bobby Slowick route and be a passing game coordinator? I don't think so.
No, I think,
like,
he'll be an OC somewhere.
I think he'll be an OC next year calling plays, and he'll be a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder just, like, if you're just power-ranking OC candidates going into next offseason, how far McDaniel would be on that list. I don't know. I have no idea. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Philip from the Woodlands in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys. Just thinking with history repeating itself as it often does, I get the similar vibes right now as when right before the Texans hired Wade Phillips, we were all really angry with the defense, and we always felt like the Kubiak was overly loyal to, who was it, Frank Bush? And we were getting bad results year after year after year. And I felt like they finally, management stepped in and forced him to take Wade Phillips. And that kind of marriage, that forced marriage, kind of worked out. And I get that similar vibes now, in that, granted, D'Amico doesn't have that same level of trust or friendship, probably. But I feel like we're moving down the path where D'Amico's going to have to choose, do you stay as coach and take the guy we pick, or do you want to go somewhere else? Because they're gonna force him. I think at some point you have to get him to, you know, take an outsider's look at it and not have that same kind of control. Just, you know, head coach of the offense, head coach of the defense. And that seemed to work pretty well for Kubiak once he had to let go to Wade Phillips on the defensive end there. But the other thing I wanted to note real quick, too, was when Kubiak came in, and I forget, I think it was it Ben Jones? They picked up a center from Denver that had run the scheme before. And I feel like when they rebuilt the line this year, they didn't really pick up or target a guy who had played in the system before and ran the system. And I feel like everybody's learning on the fly. Had they gone out and gotten one or two guys that maybe not as good a player, but had played in the system or for the coach before, maybe we'd be getting better results on the line. And that's all I'd say. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, because we see coaches do that all the time. They bring in guys, but like, what's the system? Like there's the guy who was the center for the Patriots last year, just retired. I can't remember his name now, but like all those Patriots guys are gone. Like, that's the system you're talking about. Like, Jonah Jackson was a free agent this year, or was traded to the Bears from the Rams. I can't remember, but like, he was the guy. He came from the Ben Johnson era. Like, so like, you're not going to bring in someone from the Rams to come in to fit this one. So it's a valid point, but I still don't think any of those guys are left.
No, I think he's talking about Chris Myers from Denver, who came over from the Broncos.
And to the first point, honestly, I'm not sure it's what they didn't do with Nick Caley still, that they just were like, this is the hire for you, D'Amico, comparing to the Wade Phillips.
It's just, we don't know for sure.
We don't, but like,
it has the writing's on the wall. I'm not going to dispute that.
Yeah, I don't know if I think too highly of D'Amico to think like, I don't think he's, would hire someone of this caliber.
Well, something that I've thought of before is, I wonder how well connected D'Amico is and like what his networking is like.
It's not big.
Because he's only, I mean, unless he's just talking to a bunch of different coaches, but whenever he's asked like his mentors and his friends in like the business, he talks about like old coaches. So he's only been in San Francisco and he's only been in Houston. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't had like the resume as a, yeah, was he
a player there. So right. I feel like that kind of counts, right?
I don't think it does.
Okay.
Like, I guess it depends on your action. Like, it depends on, hey, are you hanging out with the coaches? Are you talking to the coaches? Like, I guess it depends on what your motive is. Because there's a lot of guys who are late in their career that know they want to get into coaching, and they'll start, like, dabbling in that a little bit more or hanging out with them a little bit more. So I think it depends on the player. I think they're case by case. And I don't know if D'Amico was doing that. But his coaching stops, there's only been two. And, like, you look at who he's hired, it's usually been guys that it's either from San Francisco or guys that Nick Caserio has a connection with. He actually kept a lot of the Texans coaches whenever he was hired. So I have wondered about his networking. And maybe that has been a reason why he hasn't had, like, this, you know, cast a wide net with OCs and that sort of thing. But it's something that come to mind. Now, the Texans did bring in Andrews, who did play under Popovich. Now, that's not the offensive coordinator scheme, and it was back in college. So that's a reach, but there was some sort of connection with starting center and a coach on the Texans. Not that that's the perfect example of what you were looking at. What'd you think of this Azeez Al-Shaair hit, Joe?
I mean, I think it's a bad call, because I'm going to take him for his word that the whistle had not blown yet. That it's like the whistle hadn't blown. It's like, what are you supposed to do? It's not violent in the way that we've seen him hit people in the past. I don't think he's going to get fined for this one, like he's already been fined for hits this year.
I think, isn't it automatic? Like, if you get a personal foul, it's a fine? I think it is.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a fine.
But
on the whistle thing, though, does it matter if the whistle hasn't blown, if they're standing out of bounds?
I mean,
to play devil's advocate?
His head is in his chest. Like, it is, like, I think it's pretty clear, like, his line of sight is only literally what's in front of him in that same
But we don't call that based on intent, though. You just call it based on action.
Yeah. I mean, and you're right. It's I think he got the penalty, if anything, because of who he is.
I do, too. I think this was a reputation call.
So like that's why like I don't have anything wrong with the hit, but I also don't really have anything wrong with the flag being thrown because you earned it, man.
Like, letter of the law, I concede that it was probably a flag. Like, you're not supposed to drive into a player. I don't like the rule. But I also don't think it was, like, a dirty, dumb play like people made it out to be.
Yeah.
Like, people forget that Sam Darnold's a big dude who's actually a pretty good athlete. Like, he's 6'3", 225. He's probably running top speed close to 20 miles per hour. And he's running straight at you and dipping his shoulder at you. So if you're Azeez Alshire and you got a 6'3", 225-pound athlete moving at you at 20 miles per hour, what the heck are you going to do? You're going to try to match his force and his impact by delivering a blow on him. The contact happened well in bounds. That's well in bounds when the contact was made. He, like you said, his face mask is right inside of his chest plate. And look, this is a massive collision. You have no idea where your body's going after a massive collision. So you wanted A... You wanted him to have the presence of mind where he's at whenever his face mask is buried in the quarterback's chest plate. And then secondly, you want him to have the ability to peel back in a split second of time. This to me is a couch take. This is a take that people have from their couch when they see it on TV. Oh, Azeez just dove into him out of bounds. Do you realize how hard it is to pull back whenever you have these two athletes moving at a high rate of speed to have the ability to do that? I think it is foolish to think it was a dumb play, think it was a dirty play. Azeez Alshire said kind of the same thing. He, Darnold, lowers his shoulder. We both just kind of hit each other. I'm driving him. He's trying to drive his legs. No whistle. So Azeez is saying that he continued to play because he didn't hear the whistle. But my head is in his chest, so I don't know where I'm at on the field. And they never blew the whistle until after I dropped him on the ground. They, the officials, were like, that's a flag because you hit him on the ground. But again, he says they never blew the whistle. Sam Darnold's quote on this is very interesting to me. Darnold asked about the play. Darnold said, that was an interesting one. It is what it is. I was out of bounds when that happened. It was weird because I was in bounds when he first hit me. I don't know. That's just kind of what happened. We got the penalty in first down. That's all that matters. So Sam Darnold doesn't even know if there should have been a penalty call on that play.
Well, see, the problem is it's not necessarily that play last night to where, like, what is Azeez supposed to do when we've seen evidence in the NFL of Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, these quarterbacks who fake running out of bounds, who drop their shoulder, and they act like running backs. He's out of the pocket. Like, I think we've gone way too far with protecting these quarterbacks. Like, of all the hits we've seen put on quarterbacks before, that is a giant nothing burger. It should not have been called. It should not be a penalty. It's a bad penalty. I get that's why they officiate it, but it's bad football to operate it that way. So Azeez did nothing wrong.
Yeah, I just – it's hard to play defense nowadays in the NFL. This texter says that what is he supposed to do, just let Darnold truck him? Like, yeah, that's the point that I'm making too. Like, you have a quarterback that's really big, that's really, really fast, running right at you, that's dipping his shoulder into you while he's still in bounds. Like, you want Azeez Alshire to take a charge? Like, it's – people would say, well, he should have drove into him once he was out of bounds. He doesn't know where he's at, and you just want him to quit on the play? I think that's a couch take. Another texter on the text line, it's a dumb play by a dumb player. See, that's where I think it's crossing the line. I don't think it was a dumb play. Why is everyone else able to figure out when to stop except Azeez? That's not true. Like, that's foolish to think that every defensive player stops whenever it's bang-bang like that. It is flat-out foolish. You're not watching a whole lot of football if you think that every player is pulling off like that. Another junkie, quarterback sold that play by not continuing through the contact while going out of bounds. It wasn't that big a deal. Alshire did what he was supposed to do. So,
yeah, I mean, what do you want him to do later in the season? You want, when he plays Josh Allen on Thursday Night Football, to let Josh Allen run over him and then run for a touchdown?
Yeah.
Like, that's the better result?
See, I like violent football is my favorite football. Yeah. I like physical football. Football is a collision sport. Football is a physical sport. This isn't powder puff. I want my linebackers to hit. I want quarterbacks to be fearful of my linebackers. Now, do I want Azeez to be dirty? Do I want him to be dumb? No, I don't want him to be those things. I don't think yesterday was a dirty, dumb play. Concede, letter of the law, pile driving him into the ground, letter of the law, it's a penalty. I have an exception to the law. I don't like the law there. All right, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Willibits. We'll tease what it is. Rockets start the season tonight. Willibits. What's the wager? What do we like on certain Rockets bets for the season-long props? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? Jeremy being a giant buzzkill? Joe trying to do math? Carry the one, Joe. Carry the one. Or maybe they'll recklessly label people as casuals. Let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
Thank you, Bob Barker. I'm going to be a game show host right now. Sometimes Jeremy and Joe, we just like to pop off a giveaway. Sometimes we tease them, try to get you, you know, try to bait you to listen to the rest of the show. Other times we just, here you go, here's a giveaway. Thank you for listening to us, because we like to reward the loyals that are with us, even if you don't want a giveaway, or even if you don't know there's a giveaway coming. So sometimes, boom, here you go. From 20th Century Studios, Springsteen Deliver Me From Nowhere chronicles the making of Bruce Springsteen's 1982 Nebraska album when he was a young musician on the cusp of global stardom. Caller number 4 to 713-780-3776. Caller 4, 713-780-3776. You're going to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the film anytime, any theater. And because we love you, a $100 Visa gift card. You're going to see the movie Springsteen Deliver Me From Nowhere. You're getting a $100 Visa gift card because you're a loyal listener to Jeremy and Joe. See Springsteen in theaters this Friday. Looking forward to that movie. I like the movies about the musicians.
They're usually pretty good.
Yeah, I like the...
Queen?
Loved it.
Very good.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yep.
Fantastic.
I didn't see the Bob Dylan one.
I didn't either. I saw Elvis, though.
Was that good?
Not bad. Tom Hanks is brilliant in that movie. He plays the snowman.
Who else was there?
The guy who plays Elvis is a very famously known actor. I'm just terrible with actors' names.
There's one for Elton John, right? There was one?
Yeah.
Rocket Man.
Austin Butler plays Elvis Presley.
You know there's a four-parter coming out for the Beatles?
I believe it.
Each one's getting their own movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What about Sonny Ono?
I don't think so.
Why not? She's my favorite Beatle.
She's probably going to be pretty evolved. They're also going to cross over. And all of them, like, it's not going to be just a movie about Paul only. Like, all of the Beatles will be.
I don't think it was Sonny Ono. I think it was somebody else. Sonny Ono was the
I think you got that
the manager of Yokozuna. What was her name? Sonny Ono ruined the Beatles. He and Yokozuna. Remember whenever he threw the sand in Hulk Hogan's face at WrestleMania?
I don't remember, but I've seen it.
That's a scrape. So, Willibits, what's the wager? What we got here, Joe?
All right, so let's go through some of the Rockets wagers for the season. Just curious how you feel about it. We can pull up the...
Yoko Ono.
You're close.
I was very close.
Yeah.
It was an honest mistake.
you're in the ballpark.
I think they were related. I think Yoko was Sonny's daughter.
Do you know that?
They were not related.
Let's start with the over-under on the season. 53.5 for the Rockets this year. We went over the projections last week that The Athletic did, that ESPN's analytics department did, had the Rockets much, much below this. But 53.5 wins. It's tied for the second most in the Western Conference this year. You like the over? You like the under?
I actually like the under. I don't believe this is a team built for the regular season. I think they're gonna get up to 50 wins, but I like the under more than I like the over. I think Kevin Durant's gonna miss a few games. Tari Eason's gonna miss a few games. Steven Adams is gonna miss a few games. I think they're gonna have some issues early on in the year with no point guard. I think by the midpoint of the year, that's gonna be kind of alleviated, or you're gonna trade for somebody else. But I actually like the under on the win total.
I'm with you. I just think it's a big number. And sorry, they're third. The Nuggets are at 54.5, not 53.5.
No, I think they're going to win 50 games. I think they're going to go 50-32. And yeah. I mean, that's healthy. That's three games under.
Yeah, they're going to go under, but it's not going to be, I don't think, a dramatic under. I don't think anyone's going to be looking at it and feeling bad about how the Rockets season was. Like, if they don't get to 53 wins this year, that's fine.
No, context matters.
Yeah.
Like if you're resting a lot of these guys on back-to-backs and stuff, like, okay, that's fine.
And I guess we're kind of assuming that, and we'll see it play out throughout the year, but that, like, Tari and Durant are not going to sit the same games, right? They're going to sit opposite games.
I would think they would stagger it.
Yeah. It would make the most sense. I'd be shocked if they put them out in the same game. Rockets are plus 4,500 to win the championship this year. How are you feeling about that?
4,500?
Yeah.
I feel like that's decent odds.
I think it's pretty good. It dropped pretty significantly after the Fred VanVleet injury. It was not one that, like, they took it pretty seriously in there. That's wrong. That's the wrong odds there. Plus 1,100 to win the championship.
I was about to say, that's
no, I pulled the wrong one there. It's plus 1,100.
Look, I think they're an SGA ankle roll away from representing the Western Conference in the finals.
I think Denver's still a problem. I really like Denver this year.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Nah. The Rockets have the answer for the Joker.
The double big lineup?
Alpi Şengün.
Alpi?
Alpi Şengün stopping the Joker.
Yeah, so they're plus 1,100 to win the championship this year. The Thunder are plus 245.
I don't think I would play that bet.
No, would you feel is it the same for the conference? Would you not touch it either? Because they're plus 650 for the conference. Because I'm not really worried about anyone in the East this year, Jeremy.
I would play the finals, the championship number before the Western Conference.
Yes,
number. Like give me the better value. I think it's more daunting to get out of the West than beat the East in the finals. So if you can give me almost double the value for just winning the finals, I'd rather have that.
100%. Like, I just don't see – I guess the Knicks, the Cavs are the top teams who are, you know, there for the Eastern Conference. I don't think any of those teams are better than the top teams of the Western Conference.
Plus, you can get in a spot where you could hedge it a bit. Like, if you're going plus 1,100 to win it, versus plus 650 to win the West. We'll take the plus 1,100. If they win the West, then you can hedge it down to probably better than plus 650.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's the better play is the finals than the winner of the Western Conference. I wouldn't play either one, though, I don't think.
I see what I did wrong here. Kevin Durant's plus 4,500 to win MVP.
No, I don't think he'll play enough minutes. And I think I don't think he's going to be selfish enough to win the MVP.
Do you think he'll hit the target games now?
What's the games?
I think it's
60.
Is it 60 or 65?
I mean, he hasn't been an Iron Man the last few years.
That's the big wrinkle now.
But that's why I wouldn't play the MVP. Is because I think that they're going to watch his minutes to where they're hoping he can play that amount of games. But if they're limiting his minutes, it decreases the chances of him like padding the numbers to where he can win the MVP. Plus, I think he's going to be passive at times. Like, I think, hey, here you go, Alpi. Let you be the hub of the offense for a good period of time. Amen. We need you to be more of a playmaker and more of a scorer. I don't think Kevin Durant's going to be nearly selfish enough to chase an MVP.
All right. The one award where the Rockets have a favorite in it is most improved player. This year, Amen Thompson plus 1,200.
That's interesting.
Next is Benedict Mathurin, and then Andrew Nembhard is next, and then Bouzelis are the top four.
I feel like Amen's too cachet to win Most Improved Player.
That's what I was kind of like. I feel like if he's going to win Most Improved, you're talking about a big leap this year.
Like that's what I was going to ask you next. Like, what does the season have to look like for him to win Most Improved Player?
I think he's got to have
like
a 3-point
20,
shot.
10-5.
Yeah,
like that's
like you're like Most Improved Player for Amen Thompson to win it this year. You're solidified as maybe a top 10 player in the NBA, top 15 player in the NBA at minimum.
Well, that's how the Rockets would meet that level, though. Like, if they're going to be a championship team, they would need a men to do that.
You can also get Reed Sheppard at plus 3,000
no,
or
thanks.
Tari Eason at plus 4,000 for most improved player.
No, thanks.
Neither of them?
I don't like any of them.
Victor Wembanyama's minus 175 favorite to win defensive player of the year. You never see minuses in this.
He's minus what?
175.
What's a men there?
Amen Thompson is, where'd he go? Plus 1,400.
I like Amen more at plus 1,400 defensive player of the year than I do plus 1,200 most improved.
Yes, he has the fourth best odds. So it's Victor and then Holmgren at plus 650 and then Evan Mobley at plus 900.
Holmgren?
Yeah.
I wish I could short that bet. That guy can't play defense. He can protect the rim a little bit, but he can't play defense.
That's me. Well, that's one where I feel like they vote on it based on blocks.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Ime Udoka is plus 1,200 to win Coach of the Year.
Where's he at?
Fourth.
Who's ahead of him?
Jamal Mosley, Quinn Snyder, J.B. Bickerstaff.
I don't hate that. You'd have to probably be the best team in the West.
Yeah, I just feel like you typically get that earlier in your tenure to win Coach of the Year.
Mm.
I feel like it's just harder to win the longer you're with a team.
And if the Rockets like actually do take a jump, they're probably not going to give Ime the love there. They're probably, Durant. Like, mm-hmm. He was the reason. He was the guy responsible.
Sixth man of the year. Fourth best, tied for third best odds. Tari Eason, plus 1,400.
Mm.
Behind Anfernee Simons, Naz Reid, and DeAndre Hunter.
See, I don't know if Tari's going to play the games.
He's
a bit injury prone. Not playing back to backs, probably.
Like, if I was going to bet on a Rocket, I'd probably look at Reid plus 2,200.
See, I'd bet the plus 3,000 most improved over six man plus 2,200.
Really?
Yeah, because if he's winning one of those awards.
No, he's probably winning. If he wins six man of the year, he's probably also won most improved.
Yeah.
Player.
Right? Like,
so
if he's
it's
winning.
Almost like if you're going to get one, you might as well parlay for both.
Well, I don't hate that, but I would take the better value. Like if he's in the mix for six man of the year, wouldn't he be in the mix for most improved player of mm-hmm. the year? I think he would.
Yeah.
So give me the value there, plus 3,000.
And then the other one I thought was interesting is this website has the all NBA odds. So Kevin Durant is plus 800 to be all NBA, first team all NBA. The guys who are minus favorites are SGA, Nikola Jokic, Giannis, Luka. Everyone else is at some point plus money. So I kind of do like that one for Kevin Durant.
He can be on any team or does he have to be first team?
First team. It's for first team.
I don't think he's chasing numbers. I think Durant's going to have a very modest stat line, but make the Rockets way better.
Amen Thompson's plus 5,000 for first team All-NBA.
But by way better, I mean better championship odds, not necessarily like win total.
Would you be intrigued by that for Amen at plus 5,000 or
All-NBA?
Yeah, or Alpi at plus 3,000.
I would go Alpi, Amin, Durant.
Because they don't do positions anymore, remember.
I would go Alpi, Amin, Durant. Because I think Alpi's got a 20-10 season in him. And would that be enough, potentially?
Yeah. Amen Thompson is a minus 200 to be first team all defense.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me defensive player of the year then.
Yeah.
At plus 1,400.
Yeah. Victor Wembanyama is minus 2,500 for first team all defense. That's absurd.
He's going to play 30 games.
Yeah, I'm not much of a believer. I mean, the talent, yes.
Yeah,
like,
incredible talent.
In terms of like the betting stuff and just him playing throughout a season, I don't know. I think people are way too high on the Spurs this year, personally. People are looking at Harper like he's going to solve all their problems.
I do like him, though.
I know, but he's a rookie.
I like him a lot.
And then, I mean, I like De'Aaron Fox.
I mean, Fox is a better player than Harper is now, but like their future, I'm more on Harper than Fox.
I think they're just more... I think they're still a big player away.
Wimby's pretty big.
Yeah. You know what I meant.
What do you think of the Rockets? The spread's actually down to 6.5. I got it at 7.5 this morning.
I'll take the Rockets tonight.
See, they're without their point guard. They're without Jaylen.
Because just, like we see typically the way these play out across all sports is you get a championship banner and you lay a dud in that first game.
Yeah, I'm on the Rock. I got it at 7.5.
Yeah, I'll
down
take,
to 6.5.
I would go 6.5 for this one tonight. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm good with the Rockets for tonight's action.
I like the Rockets tonight.
And we're going to see him out there. Like,
Jalen Williams is a stud.
Yeah.
He's so good.
The Thunder are just.
Who do you like more, Jalen Williams or Chet Holmgren?
Jalen Williams.
Me too.
I'm not a big Chet guy.
I thought
he played good in the finals last year, but he's not out there enough.
He can't defend, man. Like, he can protect the rim. He can protect the rim.
He's a stick.
He didn't have a very good scoring game either.
Yeah.
And, the injury proneness worries me about him too.
Yeah. It's big. It's big with
him. He fell down and broke his hip.
I know.
He's in his early 20s. He's breaking his hip.
He's been hurt since basically the moment he got to the NBA.
Yeah, I'm not.
And even before that. I'm not. He's one where, like, if they moved him at some point for a really splashy move, which, like, I still feel like they've got in their bag. They've got all this draft capital. They have so many first-round picks. I think they still have, like, 15 first-round picks.
Yeah.
Like, they could go get Giannis if they wanted to.
And I would have no problem trading Chet if I'm OKC. All right, 713-780-3776. Game balls. Who gets your game balls from week 7 of the NFL season? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Try to be best, 'cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it.
Brought
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
They call me the Huntington Beach bad boy. Game balls, 713-780-3776.
Can't slip that one in.
Who are you giving your game balls to? 713-780-3776. Joe, why don't you do the honor?
Matt Stafford, 5 touchdowns. What a day.
Well, we learned yesterday, how many yards? It was the 5th lowest yard output for a quarterback who threw 5 touchdowns in a game.
182 yards.
Yeah, two of the guys we never even heard of. They're in that top five.
Oh, yeah, the old men.
Yeah, and then the guys from, like, the 60s.
Stafford's a good call, no doubt. 5-touchdown game, you get a game ball. Keith from L.A. saying Stafford and Devontae Adams.
And I don't even know, like, who some of these guys he's throwing passes to in this game are.
What do you mean?
Kanata Mumpfield.
Kanata be on the team guy? Once Puka Nacua comes back.
But he caught a touchdown.
I travel my own.
That one was actually, I chuckled. That was good. I give you credit.
Some Office Space jokes. You're going back a few
years.
That's
one of my favorite movies.
Yeah,
no
same.
Salt. No salt. Love that movie. Jalen Hurts, Channel View's finest. He shows that he's got it in his bag. 19-23, the efficiency here. 326 yards. Ooh-wee. 3 touchdowns for Jalen Hurts. Fly, Eagles, fly. I think it was the only bet that I got right in our fix. So thank you. Thank you, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I believe that is correct. I'll give my first game ball to old man Christian McCaffrey. We thought he couldn't run the ball. George Kittle comes back, and all of a sudden he can run the ball again. He also great receiver, about 129 on the ground, 2 rushing touchdowns, then 7 for 72 through the air. He's a one-man offense.
I was listening to John Harris and Rock and Roll with Casario today on their YouTube channel. And they were, because they're getting ready for San Fran, and they weren't going to ask any questions about Seattle, because, you know, looking
burned
ahead.
Burned the tape, yeah.
Yeah. Harris threw out there, and I think Kyle Shanahan's also said something like this, that if Christian McCaffrey played slot, that he'd be very good. Not a running back. Mm-hmm. You just take Christian McCaffrey, who he is now, and you put him in the slot, and he would still be a very good football player.
I totally agree.
Cash or trash?
Cash.
Cash. Yeah, he could be Julian Edelman.
Yeah, he'd be way better than Julian Edelman. Like, after the catch?
Yeah.
Like, does he have hands of Julian Edelman?
Yes.
Yes. Does he run routes like Edelman? Maybe not as well.
Probably not.
But still good enough.
Good enough.
And then after, Yak?
Yeah.
Way better, Yak.
And we wouldn't call him C-Mac. We call him C-Yak.
Like, you get
as much yards as he'd be running.
That was not as good, but it's still fun.
I got him. I got Brian. I got you with the first one. I got him with the second one. C-Yak.
You got two sitcom laughs of the same segment.
But, like, if you put him in the slot and, like, had, like, a little out route one-on-one against a linebacker.
Good luck.
What is happening?
Or Petrie.
Play? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See ya.
Petrie covers like a linebacker.
Yeah. We might see it this weekend, honestly.
Yeah, I know. Shanahan's going to scheme that up.
He's going to get that matchup.
We'll see it soon.
Quinshon Judkins, 25 carries, 84 yards, 3 touchdowns. Not a super efficient day, but 3 touchdowns.
Do you want a controversial segment?
Sure.
Fantasy football perspective only. Fantasy. Okay. Should we buy the dip on criminals?
Because of Rashee Rice?
Rice, Judkins. People were saying before the year that they didn't think that Judkins was going to play at all this year. People were not drafting Judkins in best balls because they were jumping to the conclusion and the theory that he was not going to play. Criminal stuff, hadn't signed his contract, and then he's having a 3-touchdown game is probably a league winner.
Now, okay. We'll say small asterisk. If you play for the Browns, you have a better chance to play as a criminal than with any other team.
It's true.
It is true.
It's true. I would say...
buy the dip.
Most of the time... buy the dip, especially in best ball. Now, in normal redraft fantasy, ESPN put a stat out there that teams on average were 2-4 that drafted Rashee Rice.
Bobby, my friend Screech drafted one of my leagues. Uh-huh. He drafted Rashee Rice, and we haven't won a game.
Yeah,
but that's all his fault. He was a bad drafter.
Because you're waiting on an impact player.
Yeah,
it depends on what round we're talking about. Like, if you can fill out a majority of your starting lineup and then take the shot, cool. Yeah, but if it's like a third round pick, then I don't know if I'd buy the dip there.
Yeah. Drake May, 21-23, 222 yards, 2 touchdowns. Deuce is wild. Give me Drake May, game ball.
91.3% completion percentage.
21-23, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Jealous.
Thanks.
Brian?
Oh, I thought it was your turn, but I'm going to jump ahead of you and take a bear. I'm going to give it to DeAndre Swift, 124 yards and a tutty. Big day for DeAndre Swift, who I thought was dead, but he's back.
Dead.
Yeah, he's been incredible the last.
I just thought he wasn't a good running back, but occasionally he pops out with one of these games.
Yeah, he's been good, really good the last 2 weeks. Can I just give one to Kyle Mundungi as well?
Yeah,
13 carries, 81 yards, 7th round pick.
What's his outlook going forward?
What they just did. I think it's going to be pretty split like this. 19 carries for Swift. 13
is he the guy next year?
Yeah, unless they draft like a running back in the first round, which wouldn't shock me.
Do you remember in July when I asked you who is this Kyle Mundungi guy?
I was pretty. I told you. I gave him praise.
You remember when I asked you about that?
Yeah, I do. This man.
I told you he was going to be good
because it was like before the preseason.
Yeah,
I was like, hey, who is this dude?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bo Nix, 279 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ran for 48 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think he put up like 40-something fantasy points.
I couldn't give one for this game.
Like, went to Bo Nix.
They did nothing for, what, 3.5 quarters?
He got 40-something fantasy points.
Yeah,
man, and won
I
the
guess.
Football game.
It was all
the first,
in 1 quarter.
It was the first team in NFL history to score like 33 points in the fourth and come from behind for like a 16-point deficit, whatever it was. It was historic, Brian. You're not handing out game balls for history?
Yeah.
All right, next.
Is it on me again?
Yeah.
I'll give mine to, Xavier Leggett, out of nowhere. Like, as soon as Andy Dalton came out of the game, all of a sudden Xavier Leggett existed again. Goes 9 for 92 and a touchdown, and the Panthers win.
That's one of those games where I couldn't give it to an offensive player. I went J.C. Horn there with 2 picks.
That's fair.
That's fair.
But Leggett was very good.
He was. Best game he's had in his career.
Well, we mentioned this criminal, so let's just give him the game ball. Rashee Rice. 7 catches, 42 yards, 2 touchdowns. Back in the NFL.
Allegedly.
I don't think it's a legend.
That's the joke. Jackson Smith and Jigba. 8-1, 23-1.
I was going to say Leonard
Sad
Williams.
Face.
Fair.
He was a monster.
CJ Stroud, I think, gets Seattle's game ball.
My bad.
Nick Haley gets...
Brian, do you have trouble with rotations?
On this one, apparently so. I'll give mine next month to Javonte Williams. I thought I was always going after Joe. I'll give my next one to Javonte Williams, 116-1 in the Cowboys' big win.
When do we start giving love for Jerry Jones and how he handles the running back room?
I mean, he's been right the last 2 years, though.
I mean, was he right, though? Because he let Rico Dowdle go.
Javonte Williams is a stud.
Yeah.
I know, but like, he clearly didn't think Rico Dowdle was any good.
Yeah, but Rico had 2 good games. He's back to a nothing burger this week.
He was good this week. He just had to split the carries to Chuba.
He was not as good as Tay.
Well, no, because he had to split the carries with Chuba.
Joe?
Jonathan Taylor, 16 carries, 94 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Good
in
call.
In the win for the best team in the AFC, maybe.
I'll go with could have been a Houston Texan, Jahmyr Gibbs. 17 carries, 136 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then 82 receiving yards to boot.
He's nasty.
Could have been a Texan.
He could have been.
And I definitely know it's my turn now, so I'll give one to Jerome's boy here, A.J. Brown. 4 for 121 and 2 tutties. I know you already gave one to Hurts, but I'm going to give one to your boy, A.J. Brown.
I think the only game we're missing here is Packers. You got to go Micah Parsons.
Yeah, three sacks.
No one on the offense. Like they seem to limit the Josh Jacobs' work. He's been dealing with a little bit of an injury. So
Leonard
wasn't
Williams.
Much offensively.
Junkie says Leonard Williams. Key from L.A. gives me a game ball. 10 for 10 on the joke. George Kittle game ball, 0 catches. First game back, but elite blocking.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Helps to help C-Mac. Jamar Chase, 23 targets, game ball. We usually don't do the Thursday night games, but yeah, you can give it Jamar Chase a game ball. Joe Flacco a game ball. That's it. All right, 713-780-3776. Junkie of the day. Who's your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Maybe your car is the junkie of the day, that old piece of junk. Well, get a new car at Monument Chevrolet. And the reason you're buying a car there is because they're the dealer you can trust. They're transparent with you. They're not going to hassle pricing with you. You're going to get your car shopping done fast, too. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new pre-owned vehicles, and then they keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel, friendly atmosphere, the culture, top-notch. The vehicle of the week at Monument Chevrolet is the Chevy Trax. Modern, sporty style, spacious interior, ample standard tech features, all for a super low price. The Chevy Trax is an unbeatable deal. Get a fair deal out at Monument Chevrolet. Transparent too, no hassle, without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Now is the time to upgrade your ride at Monument Chevrolet. Check out their full inventory, monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com, or go visit them in person. They'd love to see you. 225 Bellway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Junkie of the day, what is yours? 713-780-3776. Joe, Jeremy, Brian. Joe, what you got?
Well, I feel sorry because I'm not, I don't mean to do this, but I have to agree with Josh from Seabrook on the text line. So I don't want to steal it from him, but we have to nominate you, Jeremy Branham.
What did I do? What makes me a junkie?
The Sonny Ono, Yoko Ono disaster mix-up. Would you just put that on the doc?
Brian, stop yelling in my ear.
I pulled the audio for myself, but we can play it here.
Sheesh.
Sorry.
Well, you should have put it in the doc. That's poor communication on your part.
Nah, no, I don't think we have to put every single one of them in.
How would he have known that
you
were going
to
do that?
Well, because Joe put... anyway. Yeah,
gotcha.
We can play it.
Mic drop. What about Sonny Ono?
I don't think so.
Why not? She's my favorite Beatle.
She's probably going to be pretty involved.
She...
like, they're also going to cross over. And all of them, like, it's not going to be just a movie about Paul only. Like, all of the Beatles will be
I don't think it was Sonny Ono. I think it was somebody else. Sonny Ono was the
I think you got that
the
wrong.
Manager of Yokozuna.
I have to nominate myself, too, because I agree with Jeremy.
You know,
I didn't realize in the moment
I didn't realize
I agreed with Jeremy.
You know what's even funnier? Is that Sonny Ono wasn't even the manager of Yokozuna. He was a WCW manager.
Yeah. I think you're thinking of Sonny Fuji Bono, who was the husband of Cher. Like, there's so many names that got mixed up here.
No, I definitely meant, I meant Sonny Ono. Because I knew it was Ono, but I forgot the first name. I forgot it was Yoko.
Yoko Ono.
Yoko. Yeah. Vowels are not my strong suit. So I knew it was Ono, but I couldn't. I blanked on the first one. I went with the first thing that popped in my mind, and it was Sonny Ono, former manager of the Ultimo Dragon.
I didn't think I was going to hear Ultimo Dragon's name today.
Mr. Fuji was Yokozuna's manager. That's my bad. My junkie of the day, George Springer, for doing this yesterday. There you go. That little Springer dinger. Salt in the wounds of Seattle. Do you want to hear how it sounded on Seattle Mariners Radio Network?
Very much so.
Here are the Mariners, guys.
Here comes the pitch from Bizzardo. Swung on. That is hit high, deep left field, and it is gone.
I wish they actually did that during the broadcast. Like, give him a home run, just drop the little sounder in there.
That or like the slide trombone sound effect.
Yeah. Throw it in a real broadcast.
How poetic was this? You have Seattle hit Springer in the knee. Some people say, well, Toronto took over our stadium. It wasn't us booing. Some people are like, yeah, we boo that cheater. We hate him. We do it again. I hope he dies. And then he hits a go-ahead home run in the seventh inning to lift Toronto to the World Series. And Seattle, yet again, titleless in Seattle. Loved every bit of it. What is George Springer? How is he a junkie? He is a junkie for the moment. He made the moment, even.
It was so great to see him.
It was so awesome.
Right down the middle, though. Bad pitch. Bad pitch. Probably bad decision-making process.
You think they should have kept in Wu?
Probably would have gone to your closer in that situation.
It was the seventh, though.
I know.
It's early for...
It's an elimination game, though. All bets are off.
So a seventh inning for the closer?
I mean, you always say, give me my best guy when it matters the most. You had two on and George Springer up. That's the big moment. Not what potentially facing the bottom of the order an inning later.
I would have brought him in the eighth and the ninth. Brian.
Well, it was your Sonny Ono, Yoko Ono thing, but I'll go ahead and nominate Nick Haley Weiss since that was taken away from me. Mm.
What wins?
George.
Springer deserves it. Springer dinger.
You deserve it on most days.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
I rarely win this.
My vote would actually be for J-Bone.
Okay.
I rarely win this.
Today you should have won it, but George Springer's moment was so great.
That's not a terrible mistake.
But I'm going to give it.
Yoko Ono, Sonny Ono. I mean, they're in the Ono family.
Yeah, but you still got it wrong.
It named a man.
It was still Mr. Fuji was the person you were trying to reference.
No, I was trying to reference Yoko Ono, and I forgot who it was. And it was Sonny Ono, and then I confused Sonny Ono and Mr. Fuji.
you made multiple mistakes.
All right, that's enough of you. That does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters right now on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
At Penn Station East Coast Subs, your ears may hear, and your craving deep down inside hears.
Penn Station's cheesesteak is grilled to order with 100% USDA choice steak and sautéed veggies. Piled high on that legendary bread, topped with aged provolone and served melty and hot straight from the oven.
So when you hear, your craving knows.
Time for Penn Station, and don't forget the fresh cut fries.
Penn Station.
Love your sub.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.